Hello, this is Vivi on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, with English Talk Radio. My guest today is engineer Thomas Nolan, resident of Grenoble and frequent traveller to Wuhan, Hubei province in China. He was on one of the last flights out of Wuhan. Hello, Thomas, and welcome to English Talk Radio.
Hi, Vivi. Thanks for having me on.
You were on a business trip to Wuhan when you heard about the COVID-19 outbreak in Wuhan. What steps did you take at that time?
Initially, I didn't take any steps. I got a link from a colleague of mine who was in Taiwan that had been in Wuhan quite a lot as well. So he sent me a link that there was this new coronavirus that was discovered in Wuhan, and it was a BBC report, in fact. So I didn't do anything. I just carried on as normal. But gradually, over the next week or so, I noticed that a lot more people, like on the subway and in town, were wearing face masks. Mm-hmm. And I kind of followed and realized things were getting a little bit more. It was escalating a bit. So I arrived in Wuhan this year on January the 1st. And the first I heard of the coronavirus was January the 6th.
So you were there quite a while before it clicked, before you realized something was... But you know, Chinese people wear face masks anyway quite often, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. They do.
Because of the pollution.
Yeah, because of the pollution. But I noticed that a lot more, like I'd been there the year before, for 5 months the year before. I noticed that more and more people were wearing them, and it became a bigger thing. So eventually, I bought a couple of face masks myself and started to wear them. But initially, like I say, I didn't do anything initially.
Wuhan is a commercial city of 11 million people west of Shanghai and south of Beijing. It was not your first trip to Wuhan.
No, it wasn't. It would have been about my sixth trip. I had been there 5 times the year before. And with my visa, I can stay for a month at a time. I've been there quite a lot. So it was kind of normal for me to be there.
Yeah. So you were comfortable there. I mean, you wouldn't notice something. If it had been your first trip, perhaps you would have noticed it sooner.
Maybe. But it wasn't, I mean, at the time, it wasn't a huge story. You know, it was a new virus, but it was only in China. In fact, it was quite funny because it kind of felt, you know, this time last year, nobody had heard of Wuhan, you know, I mean, it's
exactly.
A huge city, like you say, it's 11 million people, but nobody had heard of Wuhan.
Right.
And last year they had the World Military Games, which are basically the Olympic Games for armies. And that was in Wuhan. And that was like, hey, you know, it was kind of exciting. At least Wuhan's getting on the map. And then all of a sudden, this thing happened.
Bang.
And it was like, you know, it really was the first time. So it wasn't a big deal. It was just, oh, wow, this is, you know, coming from Wuhan. But, you know, we chatted about our work. We were aware that it was escalating. But it was still not a big story. So there wasn't, you know, a fear or anything. It was just gradually.
No panic.
Yeah. And then towards the end, I think around the 20th of January, the Chinese government ordered people in Wuhan to wear masks.
Right.
So at that point, it was compulsory to wear masks.
What happened next? Were any of the embassies in touch with foreign travelers? What sort of help did you have?
No, I mean, again, at this point, it was not a big deal. So there was no contact from embassy. I wouldn't have expected any contact from my embassy. They wouldn't have known I was there. I don't think, like, it was strange. One thing that I did notice, and I said this to my boss, was one of the things around about the maybe January the 19th, when we went into work, you know, there were security guards checking we had our badges for the site that we were working at. But also from about the 20th, the security guards had infrared, you know, those little guns for checking your temperature. So they put them up to your forehead.
Yeah.
So they were doing that for everybody coming to the site. Now, a couple of days, they checked my temperature and they said, you know, okay, stand to the side, you have to wait, because my temperature was a little bit high, I guess, or they felt it was high, and they check it again 10 minutes later. And one day I had to wait like 40 minutes before, and they kept checking the temperature before they would say, okay, it's okay, and you can go into work.
So, do you think this was because you were a foreigner? Did it have anything to do with that? Were they checking? Were they keeping other people back?
Oh, yeah. No, everybody was being checked. I mean, everybody was being checked, and other people were being held back. But, you know, with your temperature, there's no exact temperature that everybody has. You know, some people have, it depends on where you measure it, but some people have a little bit. And you could have a little bit of a high temperature just because you're warm and you don't feel, you know, when you have a fever, but you don't know when your temperature is a little bit high. So that was, you know, at that point, it started to get a little bit uncomfortable. But that was only, I'd say, 2 or 3 days before I actually left, you know.
What about the airlines? You obviously had a return ticket at this point when it's getting a little uncomfortable before you left. You had a return ticket as you live in France. Were there any problems actually getting out?
Yeah, that was interesting because I had a return ticket from Wuhan. Like, since I arrived on the 1st of January, my boss wanted me to stay the full duration of my visa. So he wanted me to stay a month. So my return flight was not until the 29th of January. Okay. And at that point, I didn't realize when I had booked it that the Chinese, the Lunar New Year was starting around the 23rd. So the customer that I was working with, they told me, look, from about the 25th onwards or the 24th onwards,
holiday,
we do not want you to come in because we won't have, we'll have a skeleton crew on site. Everybody will be on holiday.
Yeah.
So at that point I said to my company, I said, can you look, there's no point in me staying here. I won't be able to do anything. So can you look into booking me a return flight earlier? You know, so I was saying, you know, at the weekend, maybe the 25th or 26th. And so they were looking into that.
But they weren't looking into it at that point because of the virus. They weren't looking into it because of any other reason apart from the lunar holiday.
Yeah, apart from the lunar holiday, not because of the virus, absolutely.
All right,
yeah.
All right. You are listening to 90.8 FM, Radio Campus, Grenoble. Did your company help you return to France?
Yeah, so that was interesting. Basically, I, on the 23rd of January, which was a Wednesday, I didn't have to go to work on the Thursday. I was still waiting for my company to book me on a return flight, another flight out of there. And what I did was I set my alarm for 4:30 in the morning or 3:30 in the morning because I wanted to get up and watch a football match on Chinese TV. Manchester United were playing Burnley. So I wake up, I turn on the TV, I'm watching it, I'm texting my brother and his friend. We have a WhatsApp group and we kind of text whenever Manchester United are playing. And one of my brother's friends, he texts me a story to say that Wuhan airport was going to shut down at 10 a.m. that morning.
Wow.
And I was on The Guardian, and The Guardian is blocked in China. The website's blocked. You can access it if you use your data roaming, but on the, you know, Chinese Wi-Fi, you can't access it.
Right.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh my God. And then I saw that I had a voicemail from our secretary in America who handles our travel. And she basically had left a message with me. She'd rang me, but my phone didn't ring for some reason. And she'd left a message saying, look, they're going to shut down the airport at 10 a.m. We need to get you out of there. So I rang her back and she said, when can you get to the airport? And I said, look, I can be in the airport in an hour's time. It's quite a bit outside the city, the airport. And she said, okay, we're going to try and get you on a flight to Beijing just to get you out of there. So,
excuse me, Thomas, at that point, you were not on a flight for that day.
No, I wasn't. She was going to get me one.
All right.
She was going
to get me
one. Sorry, carry on. Yeah. So she rang me. So I went down to reception. I said, look, can you get me a taxi? They said, yeah. So this is like 4 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 in the morning. And so the taxi comes along and I get the taxi to the airport and I get a call from the secretary saying, look, we have you on an 8:30 flight to Beijing. It wasn't a direct flight. It was going somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere. So it was a kind of a convoluted just to get out of Wuhan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as I was going to the airport, I felt I wasn't sure I was going to get into the airport because I felt there would be exactly the same thing that I had at work, where there would be security guards outside the airport doing the infrared temperature thing.
Right, right.
And if your temperature was high, they wouldn't let you into the airport. That's honestly what I thought would happen. I really was not sure I would get into the airport. But when I got to the airport, it wasn't like that. Everybody was getting into the airport without being checked. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't hectic or crazy or anything. It was quite calm, really. I mean, they only announced at 2 a.m. in the morning that they were going to shut down the airport and effectively the whole city. I mean, they shut down the whole city at 10 a.m. the following morning. So that was it. So I got on my flight, a connecting flight, and I got into Beijing. And yeah, so I got out of.
Okay, let's skip back. What medical precautions did you take whilst you were still in China? I'm guessing none.
Well, the only medical precaution I took was the mask. And, I washed my hands, but that was it. Yeah, yeah, the mask.
Okay, so basically. you hadn't taken any particular precautions, medical, because nobody was at that point telling you to do that.
Well, I mean, no, but there wasn't anyway. I mean, even now, the only medical precautions are, you know, just wear a mask, stay away from people, don't touch your face, wash your hands. It's kind of
okay. Basic. There were some. So how was the flight back to Grenoble? You went to Beijing, you went direct Beijing, Paris?
I went Beijing, maybe I went to Germany, I'm not sure. I think I went through Germany, but it was fine. I mean, everybody on the flight was wearing masks. You know, and when we landed in Germany, there was no checks. There was nothing like that. So it was fine. And I got a connecting flight then to Grenoble. So it was fine.
So nobody at that point was concerned that you were bringing something horrible back?
No. Well, because I was coming from Beijing, I think it was still okay, you know. Yeah. So.
Okay, any COVID-19 symptoms, Thomas? Did you ever have any?
No, I didn't. But it's funny, I didn't have any. I went to a pharmacy the day I got back. Actually, I was due to go to work at a customer site here in Grenoble, and I got back, I think, on a Sunday night or Saturday night, and I talked to my sales guy on the Sunday night, and I said, listen, should I go into this site tomorrow? So I sent him an email on the Sunday night saying, look, I've just come back from Wuhan, which is the center of this virus epidemic. Do you really want me to come in tomorrow? I don't mind. I'm perfectly fine. But if you prefer, if it's better for me not to go in, then I understand. And they emailed back and said, yeah, look, just stay away for 2 weeks. This is not urgent, so let's not come in. So the following day, I went down to the pharmacy. I didn't want to go to a doctor. I went down to the pharmacy and I just talked to them and said, listen, I just came back from Wuhan. I bought a thermometer and I just said, I came back from Wuhan, which is the center of this virus epidemic. Is there anything I should do? Do I need to call anybody? And should I go see a doctor? And they said, no, just check your temperature. And if you're okay after 7 days, then you're fine.
Seven?
You know. Yeah, well, that at the time, that was, you know, they said seven in the pharmacy, you know. I mean, nobody really knew anything.
So give me a date on this, Thomas. What date are we now? You're on the 26th of February? January?
Yeah, it was January. So it would have been, let me just see. It would have been
around
the 26th.
That.
Yeah.
26th, so we'd never heard of Wuhan at that point.
Well, I think once they shut down the city of Wuhan, that kind of put because that doesn't happen, you know.
So you self-quarantined once you returned to Grenoble on the advice of the pharmacist.
Yeah, and like for self-quarantined, I mean, I still went to the supermarket to buy, you know,
I hope it wasn't my supermarket.
I still went to the supermarket to buy, but that's all I did. I didn't meet my friends. I didn't go to the pub. I didn't, you know,
you actually were alone.
Anything else. Yeah.
All right. So, my next question was, how were the other foreigners treated in Wuhan? Did they have consular help, company help? I mean, this snowballed after you left. I mean, you pretty much got out. We're saying you got out on one of the last flights from Wuhan, but at the same time, at that time, nobody really cared that much, as you said, until they locked down. So what about people who were left behind, foreigners? How did they fare?
Yeah, well, like I had met quite a few Irish guys in I went to a pub in Wuhan one night for an Irish rugby match, and I met quite a few Irish guys. There was quite a few Irish guys who were teachers over there. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of, when there was obviously, they probably would have been left behind, you know, because they wouldn't have had plans to get out and the airport was shut down. But I did notice, I remember checking, you know, when the UK organized a flight out of Wuhan to get UK people and anybody who wanted to leave, I checked on the news and a couple of those guys got out on that flight. I kind of recognized them because they were on some of the news programs and they did some YouTube videos and stuff. But it was fascinating watching, one of them did a YouTube video of going to the supermarket in Wuhan because he was still stuck behind.
I saw that, you know, video.
Yeah.
So when I was doing my research, I saw that.
So
Carrefour, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Carrefour. Yeah, with the automated tills. So you just, and he was like wrapped and wearing goggles, swimming goggles. Did you see that? Yeah.
Well, it's don't eyes, touch obviously. Your face. It's really, really do not touch your eyes because that's a good pathway. So what is the mood now of your colleagues in Wuhan? I mean, you work with these people. You've been there 5 times. You know these people. Have you had any contact with them? How are they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys left behind that we work with. Quite a few of the guys that I worked with were based in Beijing, so they left, you know, for the Lunar New Year and never went back. But there are there are 3 colleagues of mine who are still in Wuhan, who are basically in lockdown. They don't really go. They don't go to work unless it's absolutely necessary, and that hasn't really been absolutely necessary, I think, the last few weeks. So they are in, they're in lockdown. And, I think it's very, very difficult. You know, my understanding was a couple of weeks ago they were allowed to leave once a week to go to supermarket to get food and stuff. But I think it's got more and more restrictive the last while. So it's very, very, very difficult, you know.
Life on Mars, very, very alien now. One of the things that was very interesting following the news, which I do, was the map of China. And it showed the pollution levels and how they had lifted since the virus. Because nobody, there's no factory working going on in that area. It showed that triangle of Wuhan, Beijing, Shanghai.
Okay.
And it was I don't know, a month ago and now, and there's no pollution.
Wow. Okay.
Which you probably find hard to believe. Having been there?
Yeah, it's funny. Wuhan, I didn't find Wuhan too polluted, or I didn't notice it too much, you know. Mm. But that's interesting. And obviously all the cars are not running. There's no cars running. So that's a huge thing as well. Like, you know, so that's quite amazing, you know. But that's interesting. It's strange because I don't know when Wuhan is going to open up again, you know. I mean, really don't. It's just...
It depends where you live in the world. I did a quick reconnaissance yesterday for the virus in quick tour of Grenoble. No one was wearing a face mask at all. I didn't see one face mask in Grenoble. No one was wearing gloves at all. Of course, it was mild. I mean, it wasn't exactly a cold, cold day. Only one woman with her face slightly covered. And so I did a quick check with my local pharmacist and no masks no hand washing gel, and a few thermometers and face masks have been requisitioned by the French government for medical personnel only. I don't know about the gel, but he didn't have any and he didn't expect to get any soon. So, I mean, we are not in Grenoble, considering how close we are to Milan, we are not worrying. People are not worried in Grenoble at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think they should be. I mean, face masks are good if you have the virus and you don't want to give it to other people.
Debatable, or if
you're in close proximity to people who have. But other than that, they're, to be honest, my opinion about this face mask is they're more of a placebo. I mean, if everybody else has a face mask and you don't have a face mask, you feel exposed, you know, you feel naked almost. So I'm not sure how, I mean, they help, but I don't think they're the big thing to do. You know, the big thing to do is try and stay away from people who are coughing and sneezing and wash your hands and don't touch your face, you know.
Right, you know. Wash your hands, Nicholas. I used to say that quite often. Do you expect to return to China in the near future?
Yeah, that's interesting because my boss has asked me to go to Shanghai next week. Ah. Okay. And so I'm looking at that. And I just spoke to a guy, a colleague of mine, who went to Shanghai. And when he went to Shanghai, he was checked before, his temperature was checked before he got on the airplane, his temperature was checked when he was going through security, his temperature was checked when he landed, his temperature was checked after he went through security, he was quizzed on had he been to Italy. You know, the kind of the irony, you're landing in China and you're being quizzed if you've been in Italy. If you've been in Italy, you're going to get shuffled off to another, he said you're going to get shuffled off to another coach and you're going to get taken and isolated, you know. So to be
honest, it's not worth the risk. Well, you have to have new information next week. I mean, obviously we don't have the information, it's day by day whether you should go or not, but I think at this point your company can't tell you to go. It's a personal decision, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. They've left it up to people to decide if they want to go. The only thing is Shanghai appears to be open almost fully. I have colleagues who are from Beijing who are in Shanghai working, so it feels kind of a little bit unfair, you know, if they are working there, why shouldn't I work there?
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, so, a personal decision. I was going to say, any advice for people intending to travel to Wuhan, but you can't. It's a closed city, right?
Yeah, Wuhan is a closed city, so I would not, I mean, just don't go to Wuhan. Wuhan's not going to open up for another couple of months, I think.
You cannot go into the city, is that correct?
Yeah, you can't go into the city. No, you can't. Absolutely, you can't go into the city. No, absolutely
right,
not.
Right. Yeah. Have you received any medical treatment since your return to France, Thomas?
No, I haven't. It's funny. I do have some problems sometimes with my kidneys. I get some pain, and I did have one night. I had really bad pain about a week after I arrived in France, and I had really bad pain. And I absolutely did not want to call a doctor because I knew if I called a doctor, it would have to tell them I was in Wuhan, and then there would be hazmat suits coming out. You know, people in hazmat suits coming to my apartment.
You're a Wuhan man.
So I absolutely did not. It's funny, just the last point, I had a colleague who was in Italy who was not in China. He was in, he wasn't in Wuhan, he was in Shanghai. And when he came back to Italy, his school told, before he came back, his school told his wife that their two kids would not be allowed into school for the next 2 weeks because they knew he was in China and he was coming back. So they told him they would not allow him in. Yeah. So he, in order to avoid that, he self-quarantined. They had another apartment. So he self-quarantined in that apartment away from his wife and kids. And he was there for about 10 days. And one morning he checked his temperature. And one morning his temperature was 37. So he rang his doctor and his doctor said, okay, go straight to emergency. So he went to emergency and they quarantined, they had, you know, put him in a separate room and they did the checks for it and he didn't have it. I mean, 37 degrees is not elevated temperature. You know, you could have 37 degrees because you're, you know, I don't know, you're feeling warm. So I thought it was 50
degrees. Yeah. Too many clothes on. Yeah. Well, so, I think that's the way of the world. I mean, right now there are a lot. It's 50% panicking and 50% saying it's not going to happen to me. Why should I care? We have to wait till it's a pandemic. And when it's a pandemic, then we'll get excited. Thomas, thanks so much. Most interesting. And very good luck to you. I will be very interested to hear if you actually go back to Shanghai.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, I'll keep in touch. Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you, Thomas. Goodbye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
I do want to say before I go that a casual comment by someone last December caused me to look into the book reading world, of which I am part. Yes, we are still reading books, hordes of us. Publishing is up. So today is World Book Day. Give someone a book. Read to a child, give a book to a child, but read today because today is World Book Day. Oh, and the comment was, but Vivi, nobody reads anymore. Ha! I don't think that's true at all. My guest was Grenoble engineer Thomas Nolan. You might listen to English Talk Radio on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, Wednesday 1900, Sunday 12:30. And don't forget the podcast, www.campusgrenoble.org. Thanks to Louis, English Talk Radio.